Consumer spending numbers out today, a little lower, but it's probably not a disaster. From APM in New York, I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Midday Update. New consumer spending numbers for June came out today, and they were the lowest they have been in 4 months. Spending rose just 0.2%, according to the U.S. Commerce Department. To talk more about these numbers, here's Quincy Crosby, a market strategist at Prudential Financial. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
So the newest consumer spending report is out. How does it look to you?
Well, it looks as if Americans are a bit more cautious. We have had incomes higher, but we're spending less than our incomes, which tells us that Americans are saving more, which is a good thing. That said, the slowdown was in big ticket items, particularly vehicles. We spend an awful lot buying cars and trucks in May, but we slowed down a little bit. But the number was still good. It's just lower than the month before. So again, you have a cautious, almost smarter U.S. consumer being very careful about how we spend.
And then we have auto numbers for July, actually, that suggest that car sales may be okay or even a little better than okay coming out of June.
Yeah, exactly. Even though we slowed down the spending, the numbers were actually very good. I mean, we bought 17 million vehicles on an annualized basis, which are very strong numbers. That said, the month before was stronger. So a little bit of payback. That's all this is a little bit of payback from the month before.
All right. One other thing we're watching today, oil is trending down. Now you have Iran committing to more oil production, but how is weak economic data from China affecting oil prices?
That really does have an effect on all commodities. Every time a data release comes out from China that shows China weakening, not rebounding as quickly as global markets would want, the commodities get a hit, and oil is one of them. So, you know, you've got a situation in which you've got a stronger dollar, you've got weaker demand, China being the world's second largest economy, that weakens. You know, you have an issue on oil of, you need China to be stronger, you need the dollar to be weaker, and you need consumption globally to really begin picking up.
Quincy Crosby from Prudential Financial, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
This morning, we're waiting for the Obama administration to formally announce tough new environmental regulations for power plants. The goal is to cut carbon pollution by 32% by the year 2030. The plan is expected to face tough legal opposition, but the new rules would classify carbon emissions as a pollutant for the first time. We'll have more on that story on the web at marketplace.org. But speaking of carbon emissions, driving an electric car has become, for a lot of people, the ultimate badge of environmental consciousness. After all, you're not polluting, are you? Well, actually, a growing body of research now suggests that electric cars might actually produce more pollution than a comparable gasoline-powered car. Marketplace's Adam Allington says the final answer to that question depends in large part on where you charge up.
If you just look at the car, electric vehicles are about as clean as they come. No combustion engine, no emissions. But that doesn't mean they don't create pollution.
It depends on where they're being driven.
Nick Muller is a researcher at the National Bureau of Economic Research. He co-authored a paper comparing emissions produced by gasoline cars versus those at power plants. The results produced a mixed bag for electric cars.
They're very good where the grid is clean. They seem to be not so good in the terms that we track in this paper, where the grid is predominantly reliant on coal.
That means cars charged in states with a high percentage of renewables, like California, are greener than gasoline cars, while just the opposite holds true for large sections of the Midwest and Northeast, which still rely heavily on electricity from fossil fuels. Given these new data, some say the government should scrap its $7,500 tax incentive for electric cars.
I don't think policymakers should be subsidizing or promoting electric vehicles at all.
John DiCicco is a professor at the University of Michigan Energy Institute. He says the high cost of electric cars combined with limited range make them a poor choice for most consumers and therefore a bad way to reduce emissions.
And a more efficient gasoline vehicle for the vast majority of consumers is going to be the most economical way to be green, and policy should be consistent with that.
But sales of electric cars have grown dramatically in recent years and don't show any signs of slowing.
Yeah, I'm Robert Vogt. I have a Tesla P85D. I've had it about 2 months.
Driving around Vogt's hometown of Ypsilanti, Michigan, he says his decision to buy a Tesla had nothing to do with environmentalism.
Tesla just announced an update for this car to speed it up to 0 to 60 in 2.8. This doesn't have the update yet, but it's pretty quick. Now we're going 70.
Holy cow.
As far as carbon, Vogt says the power grid is getting cleaner all the time, and electric vehicles shouldn't be blamed for outdated technology at the utility company.
Well, I think it makes the point that we need some different energy sources. We can fix that end of it, right? We don't need to use coal.
Meanwhile, the range on electric cars is gradually improving. At the same time, costs are going down, with many new models running around $30,000 before the tax rebate. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
This final note before we go, the owners of Triple Crown winner American Pharoah have a new milestone in their sights. They're hoping that horse can remain undefeated as a three-year-old. Previous winners, Secretariat, Affirmed, and Seattle Slough all lost races after their Triple Crown victories. American Pharoah won a $1.75 million purse on Sunday at the Haskell Invitational in New Jersey and may race again on August 29th. In New York, I'm Molly Wood with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.